Welcome to the Copper Staple podcast of the 5th of February 2016. This podcast is an interview with Darren Stanton, and we talk at the Nottingham Contemporary with regard to the damage caused by critics. Before going on to the interview, let me introduce you to Mr. Darren Stanton, a celebrity television presenter and expert in assessing the legitimacy of an individual's statements during questioning. He is a respected psychologist and analyst of the human condition. A former member of the police force, Darren told me as he watched his subjects during interviews, he realised they gave specific physical indications when they were lying. And this is the seed of his theory, which has grown into a fascinating subject, often providing incredible results. To briefly explain the modus operandi, he observes the subject's body movements, listens to telltale changes in the sound of their voice, deciphers the structures of the sentences spoken, and combines the observations to discover the integrity of the information being offered. And he's taken the science of lying into different arenas: politics, industry, the media, private crime detection, to name but a few instances where his expertise has been utilised to great effect. Darren is currently organising a series of insightful workshops and lectures in England and is returning to America in June to lecture in Los Angeles and New York. Now, 1 month into the year, he's already given 3 corporate talks to blue chip PLCs, captivated visitors attending television awards in London, and even found time to promote his work in Nottingham last weekend. He is also advisor on a new crime series, which is about to begin filming in August. A busy man, and rightfully so. I hope I've covered the most important aspects of his present work and his many projects. Yesterday, I managed to persuade him to come to Nottingham's Contemporary Arts Centre and view the present exhibition, aptly called Monuments Should Not Be Trusted, which observes the contradiction of the crazy years of a single-party state in Yugoslavia. However, the exhibition was not my true motive for the invite, and during our 2 hours in the exhibition halls, I waited for an appropriate time and asked, "Darren, would you be prepared to contribute to a podcast on the subject of criticism?" "When?" he replied, and I answered, "I've got my recorder in my bag. Let's do it now." I suspected he'd agree, and he did. And here is that interview. Thanks for agreeing to be part of the podcast, Darren.
You're very welcome, Ian. Thank you for asking me.
Before we begin, what did you think to the exhibition?
Yeah, I think it was very interesting. It just demonstrates the difference in cultures and obviously my experiences of growing up and the difficult conditions and circumstances in which the people that have displayed work that they were working in. So it was really interesting.
Darren, you've known me for many years. As you know, my work has often become subject to criticism, something which does not concern me, as you know. After a recent poor review on Kindle, I reviewed the reviewer, and this has become a long blog which will be published this coming week. The idea of this interview came to me whilst writing and researching that blog. Okay, Darren, put your psychological hat on. First question. What do you feel is the psychological motivation behind the individual who feels the need to critique another artistic work?
I think for me, essentially, it's about where this person's coming from. So are they indeed a creative person? Have they failed to achieve any sort of critical acclaim? Because very often, in my own experiences of people that have been overly critical, when I've looked a little bit deeper, these people very often seem to be a little bit damaged in terms of their own experiences. So very often it's about criticising other people over and above what's appropriate.
Darren, are the words criticism and judgmental the same? It seems to me they are. For example, if our man is critical of your acting ability, is he at the same time judging it?
For me, I think the two things are interchangeable. You know, you can't really be judgmental and critical. The things aren't separate. And I think anyone that goes into the idea of being a critic or judging other people's work, for me, I think it's very important that they've got an understanding and a grounding in terms of the amount of passion and work that's gone in to produce the performance, no matter what it is.
I'm assuming any beneficial comments are confidence builders, even if the critique is inaccurate. From my recent research, the more involved and dedicated the critic, the less able he seems to be able to give an objective review. Is this a justified observation?
Yeah, for me, I think it is a very justified observation, Ian, because as you've said, the more involved somebody is, then the less likely they are to be objective. So as an example, we're all aware of certain talent shows, you know, people tend to tune in, not just for the positives, but they tend to tune in for the nasty negative comments that some of the judges seem to make. So I think in listening to somebody that's critiquing our work in any way, shape or form, we first have to look at that individual. Have they got an agenda that they're working to? Because for most people won't read their column or listen to what they're saying unless it's inherently nasty. So I'm just curious to find out, you know, what their agenda is when I'm indeed being critiqued by various journalists and people.
Should the critic practice the subject he's making his judgment upon? For example, the Kindle critic known as reviewer be a practicing writer, the music reviewer be a practicing musician, an art critic an artist?
I think my personal opinion is that if I'm certainly being judged by somebody or critiqued in some way, then they indeed need to have an understanding in my field of expertise. As an example, you know, I know absolutely nothing about cookery, and so therefore for me to go on and judge people's meal that they've cooked or dessert, whatever, then I've got absolutely got no right, in my opinion, to be doing that. So I think, yes, I think my personal opinion is that for someone to critique a certain artist or photographer or performer, they first need to have an understanding in terms of what's been required in order for them to reach that level of standard. So for me, I think that's vital.
Can the creative artist be personally and adversely affected by the critique of his work?
I think yes, very definitely, because even though to put yourself in a situation of having an exhibition or being on stage or being on television or being judged in some way, you know, we're all kind of sensitive spirits, I think, that go into the creative industry. So I think, you know, very hurtful or negative comments, you know, potentially can have a very adverse effect on an artist's work. So I think it's very important that, you know, the comments need to be taken really with a pinch of salt.
Now, Darren, let me put you on the spot, because this question is at the core of our podcast. You've known me for many years, and I'm going to ask you, because I'm interested to know, why I am personally able to shrug off any form of criticism.
As you've already said, Ian, I've known you for a great many years. In fact, I think it's over 20 years. And I think what's true of you is true of me and is undoubtedly going to benefit the listener. is the fact that you're incredibly determined to achieve what you want in life. And I've always known you to be a person that's put in great preparation. You've never really gone into anything half-heartedly. So I think the preparation and determination are very, very, very vital. And also the fact, you know, you need to be an individual. You need to be very sort of single-minded in terms of, you know, what your creative passion is. And I think the thing that connects us all is the fact that we don't want to live within the box. We don't want to live a life of mediocrity. So I think they're four kind of key things for me that are vital.
Okay, Darren, let's try and redress the balance of the interview. Are there any benefits to critique?
I think for me, whenever I do television or stage or radio, or indeed my own sort of live shows, there's three key questions that I ask myself on the way home. Very often, you know, I can be seen sitting on the train scribbling away. And three key questions that I think the listener's going to be very interested to hear is the fact that what's gone well. So make a few notes in terms of what's gone really well about your exhibition or performance. After that, you need to kind of note what's not gone so well. So be aware of how I phrase the question. It's not a case of what's not worked or what's failed. It's what's not gone so well. And then the third part of the questioning is, what would I do differently next time? So by asking those three key questions, you can base, you know, quite an accurate perception in terms of how the exhibition or performance has gone.
Let's try and redress the balance of the interview, Darren. Are there any benefits to critique?
For me, and I think it's vital that we get feedback on our work. Having said that, I think what's important to realise is that we're all one of two people in a given context. So we're very, what we call internal people or very external people. So if you're internally referenced, that just simply means that you don't need to have any external feedback at all. You just know with your gut instinct that you've done a very, very good job. And there'll be people listening to this podcast right now that resonate with that answer. Likewise, the externally referenced person, no matter how much they feel inside, they just need that external validation. So by recognising what kind of person you are will enable you to seek out the right kind of feedback. So if you are an externally referenced person, the person that you ask to critique or judge your work, for me, needs to have a great understanding in terms of what's been involved in the creation of that work and also have a grounding in that field. So again, goes back to my earlier answer that, you know, I think for me, the person that's critiquing you needs to be involved in that area of expertise as well.
Darren, bearing in mind the influence of the critic, do you feel that they can be consciously aware of the effect they can have upon the victim of their critique?
I think in my experience, and it all comes down to what kind of individual the critic is, you know, what is their intention? So if their intention is to offer constructive feedback or criticism on the artist so that they can evolve, progress, and get even better at what they do, then yes, they can have a positive effect. However, as we see many times on television or in the press, if someone's trying to make a name for themselves in being sort of super critical, then I think very often they lose sight of the fact that their words can be so impactive that they could seriously affect the well-being of an artist or indeed cause them to end their career as a result of their harsh words. So I think, you know, being in a position where you are critiquing other people's work also comes great responsibility. So as the artist, I would always look at what the intention of, you know, the critic is.
So, if we accept a victim's progress could be stifled by reading or listening to a critique, am I correct in assuming the critic knows this to be a risk? And if so, should I draw the conclusion that for some, the underlying purpose is of a malicious and vindictive nature and designed to cause pain or discord?
This is a great question, Ian. I think once we've established that it's, you know, the intention of a certain critic is not to really help us develop and evolve, then again, as you've already stated, we just must assume that they're there to hurt us. this resonates quite a lot with me, because in the past I had one particular individual who was quite critical of my work, but then it took on quite a sinister turn, because then he was writing some very, very nasty things on a personal level, and it went over and above my work and my performance on in terms of, you know, my the physical appearance and things like that. So he was one such individual that all of his words in the past really became insignificant. At one point, I did used to kind of listen to them intently and thinking that he was there to help me. But later on, it was apparent that he was all about jealousy. And when confronted, his response was, "I just can't help myself." So again, just be very cautious when listening to the words of so-called critics. Make sure that they're a person of integrity, honesty, and they want the best for you and I.
So how can we help and guide the listeners today to overcome adverse criticism? Have you any hints or guidance?
Well, a technique that I found very, very useful, Ian, is by simply asking myself three key questions. Whenever I've been on television or radio, or I've written articles for the press, or indeed been on stage, once I get the opportunity, I'll sit down and I'll write down the three answers to these questions. The first one is, what's gone well today? So write down all of the positives that have occurred from your performance or exhibition. The second question is, what's not gone so well? So notice how I phrase it. I'm not asking myself what's failed or what's gone badly. I'm simply asking, what's not gone so well? And then the third question is, what could I have done differently? So if the same situation arose tomorrow or next week, what would I do differently? So from those three key questions, you'll actually elicit quite a lot of information from yourself. Another technique that I found very useful before I've gone onto stage or on television is something called visual motor rehearsal. So that simply means that I'm, you know, imagining the whole situation going exactly as I want it. So if it's an exhibition or a piece of, you know, drama or music, whatever it may be, if you really intently run this event in your mind for sort of 10 minutes every day, and then at the end of, after the process has happened, then you can actually map over and think, you know, how well did it go in relation to what I wanted it to go? So you can kind of look at it in relation to the three questions that you ask yourself. So it's called visual motor rehearsal.
It's a busy afternoon, and as you can hear, there's lots of people in the restaurant and a very noisy baby, but we haven't got another opportunity to do this recording, so it's got to be done now. There is one last question. We do know that many an artist is fickle of heart, Darren, and by fickle I mean likely to change and become seriously victim to criticism. What methods can you offer an individual with this character trait? For example, a person who literally finds themselves held back or restricted by the memory of the cruelness of criticism that they've experienced.
I think we have to start at the point, Ian, that as performers and as artists or creative individuals, you know, we're going to be putting ourselves up onto the podium for criticism from the outset. So, you know, we have to accept that just as the celebrity, you know, gets papped by the paparazzi, you know, we have to accept that by putting ourselves out there with our work or our performance, that there is going to be a certain degree of criticism. So, but with that having been said, I think, you know, we need to look back through history and look at the great performances. I read an article recently about John Gielgud, who used to suffer from extreme stage fright. And for him, one of his key things was the preparation of the script. He used to work for many, many months in terms of learning the lines, and other people helping him run the lines as well. So in terms of what you're doing, you know, my belief is that if you've put the preparation into your performance or exhibition, if you've made something the best that it can possibly be, then, you know, you can gain strength from the fact that, you know, you're a creative individual and you've done the best that you can. So by accepting, first off, that you are going to get critical analysis from certain individuals, you may get one or two people that are malicious and detrimental to what you do, but it's about having that belief in what you're doing, maintaining that passion for what you do, and just continue to do what you do and achieve the success that you deserve.
That's great. Thank you, Darren, for a difficult interview in a very difficult venue. But as always, you've shone through. Is it right that you're also available to do one-to-one and personal confidence building and skill building techniques? And do you feel if somebody has difficulty with criticism, is it worth perhaps having a chat with you and you can guide them on a one-to-one level, on a personal level, how to avoid or to cope with this terrible place to be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've worked for many years as a psychological coach, where I've helped literally thousands of people achieve happiness in terms of being more confident, be it performing or interviews, phobias, anything like that. So yeah, if anyone would like to get in touch, they can get me through my website, which is www.darrenstanton.co.uk, or indeed you can just Google Darren human lie detector and you'll find me that way as well.
Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks for a great interview.
And there'll be links to all of Darren's websites and information if you click on any of the pictures on this podcast. Thank you. I hope you found the interview interesting and beneficial. You must bear in mind that the interview itself was very spontaneous and Darren definitely shone exceptionally well. Let me just cover some of the things that Darren mentioned during the interview. For somebody who's affected by critics, the first thing is to look for the integrity of the critic. What is their purpose? Is it to give help, guidance, and assistance? Or is it vindictive, malicious, and derogatory? Is the critic qualified? And do they practice the genre of their critique? Are the people transparent? Search and look. And if you have any doubt, then it negates anything that they write or say. Prepare your work and realize the road to success is a long one. And during that journey, you may experience jealousy and envy along the way, especially as you near the summit of success. To help you overwhelm any outside criticism, beat them and be ahead in time. So after a performance, after an exhibition, after writing a book, reread it a few months later. And then in all of these instances, and interpret this in your own way, ask yourself when you review your own work, what's gone well here? What's good about it? What's excelled? The second question that Darren advises is to look at the mediocre work. What's not gone so well? And the third question that Darren advises, the question is, what could be different? How can I change? How can I improve? How can I start to hone the edge and sharpen the performance, the image, the writing? A consistent method and guidance that Darren gives in the interview is the power of rehearsal, preparation. And he advocates that 10 minutes each day before a performance, one should prepare. This is called a visual motor rehearsal. In the old days when I used to speak on stages in front of large audiences, many people thought that my performance was spontaneous. I can say with absolute accuracy, those 40 minutes that I used to stand on stages and discuss philosophical ideas were prepared and rehearsed to such a degree that people just looked at them and they just thought that they free flowed. They did not. Preparation, I absolutely know, is the key to rock solid success. And also, it gives you that inner feeling that allows you to say, I'm not interested in your critique. I can work it through myself. I'm doing self-appraisal and I'm honing my performance. And finally, Darren brings the performer, the writer, the artist. He draws the attention to the word acceptance. Performers and artists will be criticized. This is absolutely inevitable. Even the great performers are affected by critics. The great performers have stage fright. The great performers dry on stage. One has to accept mistakes will be made. But mistakes are just stepping stones. When one has self-belief and a passion for what we are doing, no matter what the genre, then ultimately success will be seen, tasted, and enjoyed. Allow acceptance, self-belief, and make certain that one prepares, prepares, and prepares. Thanks to Darren Stanton for giving that tremendous interview. And if you are a performer, I absolutely guide you to re-listen and re-listen to what he has to say. You can only gain. You can only benefit. Thank you. I'm Ian Timothy, and this is The Copper Staple.